Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me back again today. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys worshiping, and it's a pleasure always for me to share God's word with you. Today, our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. Elijah was a man, and like every man and woman, he was on a journey. In my life, I've been on many journeys. Let me tell you about one of mine. When I was a swimmer in college, my biggest dream was to go to nationals. Only the fastest swimmers made the national cut. And in order to get there, I would have to work for it, work hard. Needless to say, it was a long journey. But my senior year, I made it. I made it to nationals. It was awesome. Yeah. Our team took a road trip from Chicago to Knoxville, Tennessee. And along the way, we got to meet some swim alumni and old friends. While we were there, we got to stay in a nice hotel. All our meals were paid for. It's really great. And I swam faster than ever. My relay team set a new varsity record. On top of that, we were finalists and became NCAA All-Americans. In my last race, I felt like I was hovering on top of the water. It was almost effortless, like flying through the sky. But as soon as I finished that race, as soon as I hit the wall of that pool in Knoxville, my journey was over. My 4 years were up. The NCAA had a rule: 4 seasons and you're done. 4 seasons and that's it. If you're alive, you're on a journey. Some journeys we wish could last forever. Some journeys we wish we'd never begun. Yeah. Some journeys we may not even remember. Our journeys are different, but they have one thing in common. All of our journeys come to an end. My journey to the nationals ended. The journeys you've been on have ended. And the journeys we're on now will come to their end. Some of us look forward to the end. Others of us don't want the end to come. But when our journeys do end, we wonder, what's next? We wait and hope for what was or what could have been, or pray it will never happen again. We've all been there before, and our journeys will take us there again. In the place where our journeys end, we feel lost. Where will we go from here? What are our options? What can we do when our journey ends? When the journey ends, we can pray. Elijah's journey came to an end. How did Elijah's journey end? But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. Elijah went on a day's journey into the middle of nowhere. Elijah ended his journey lost and bewildered. What happened? Elijah had tried to get a nation to listen to a God that they were never going to listen to. Elijah's country preferred to listen to a God called Baal. Well, who was Baal? Baal was a rainmaker who promoted economic expansion, and the regulating authorities didn't care if developers cheated the indigenous poor out of their land as long as there was development and growth. To all this, Baal said, "Live long and prosper." But the one true God said things like, "Because you have ripped out of the hands of the poor, the widow, and the orphan their rightful property, I'm going to rip you out of this country and put you into the hands of a country more ruthless than you, and you'll be miserable." Guess which God was more popular? Elijah was a prophet of this God, the one true God known as Yahweh. As a prophet of Yahweh, it was Elijah's full-time job to speak for Yahweh. Baal had prophets too, and their full-time was to speak for Baal. Now, we don't have any full-time prophets in the workforce today, but prophecy was an amazing career opportunity back in the day, back then when Elijah was a prophet. A prophet's direct report was the king. Prophets always dined in with influential people from around the country and across the world. They never had to pack a lunch. Every day was full of opportunities to learn, grow, advance. Prophets discussed top-level domestic and international issues. They helped organizational leaders make decisions on these issues. Then there is the benefits package, the best medical, dental, vision insurance available, a housing stipend, a retirement plan. If you're a full-time prophet, you're making the big bucks. You can bet your last dollar that the prophets of Baal had all this. But Elijah didn't have any of this. He had no money, no food, no place to live, no medical insurance, and no retirement plan. You would think that the prophet of the one true God would have all of this. You'd think he'd be making it bigger than anybody. But if you look at Elijah, all you're going to see are some worn-out clothes, ill-fitting clothes. If you dig any deeper than that, you're not going to find anything, nothing to his name. What you will find is a warrant for his arrest in Israel as a disturber of the peace. Elijah was a fugitive, an outlaw. And despite 3 years of faithful service as a prophet of Yahweh in Israel, Israel's opinion about Yahweh never changed. And to put it bluntly, if Israel's opinion about Yahweh never changed, Elijah wouldn't be able to put food on the table. So, who wants to be a prophet of Baal? Okay, now who wants to be a prophet of Yahweh? So after three years of being on the run, and all the while showing amazing proof that Yahweh was God and Baal was not, Elijah realized that Israel would never listen to Yahweh. And if Israel would never listen to Yahweh, his journey was over. So what did Elijah do when his journey was over? He asked that he might die, saying, "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. When his journey was over, Elijah prayed. In one regard, his prayer raises a serious issue. If your journey has left you feeling like Elijah, seek immediate help. Seek immediate help from someone you trust. Seek help from a close friend. Seek help from somebody after church, somebody with a name tag. They can help you take steps to come out of the sense that you should die. God does not want you to die or for you or anyone to take your life. God wants you to live. Now, in another regard, does Elijah's prayer actually count as prayer? Would God really listen to such a jaded, self-defeating prayer? Elijah's not in his right mind. His heart's not in the right place. But his prayer is real. He's telling God exactly how he feels. And God will listen to him. Elijah knows that Israel will never listen to Yahweh. Elijah knows he will never be in a respectable position. He will never sit at the king's table. He will never have a house. He'll never have a garden. He'll never have security. He will be pursued like an animal until the day he dies. That is Elijah's world, and that is why he tells God, I've had enough. When our journeys are over, we can pray. When we're left at the end of a journey, and we're in that place, when we're lost, when we don't know what to do next, when we don't believe that there is a next, we can pray. Tell God what's in your heart. God is not as far away as you think. God knows exactly what you've been through. And God wants to hear your side of the story. When we feel like we don't have any other options or a way to regain control of our lives, prayer is our best option. But if we're going to pray, we should be prepared for something to happen. Prayer doesn't end when we end the prayer. Well, what happens when we pray? When we pray, God gives us food. God gave Elijah food when he prayed. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. After Elijah went to sleep, I suspect he never thought he'd heard from God again. But God showed up, prodded him awake, and said, "It's time to eat." And in the middle of nowhere, Elijah had a hot meal beside his head. Elijah did not ask for a hot meal, but it's what Elijah needs. It's been days since he last ate. He's starving. And in the meal, God gave Elijah something more. God showed Elijah that there was a journey which went beyond the fact that Israel would never listen to him. Elijah's journey ended with that fact. If Elijah's food supply depended on Israel's approval, then he really was done. He would never get their approval. But God's journey did not depend on that fact. If God did not need a supply of food from Israel to feed Elijah, then God did not need Israel's approval to continue on his journey. If God was able to get food for his prophet without Israel as a supplier, then God's journey must have been more than getting Israel to listen to him. And like Elijah, God gives us food when we pray. We may not want God to give us food, but it's what we need. When I was in seminary, I was on a meal plan. Meal plans only go on while you're a student. I love a meal plan. I couldn't graduate and stay on the meal plan. As graduation approached, I realized that my meal plan would end, and I had no job lined up. No job, no meal plan means no food. At the end of my journey through seminary, I told God that I had no idea what to do. I was afraid, and I was angry. 4 years in graduate school, and what did it profit me? I had dreamed of being a great preacher or a great pastor, but at the end of my journey, these hopes had not materialized. God knew this, but he wanted to hear it from me. And in the end, I got a job. It wasn't the job I wanted, but it was a job I needed. And with the job, I got a paycheck, and I was able to get food. Does food come from a paycheck? Does it come from hard work? Does it come from being a good person? Or does food come from God? Without food, we can't journey on. Journeys are exhausting. God knows this, and whether we know it or not, it's God who gives us food for the journey. It's God who sustains us in the end. And in the food, God gives us something more. God shows us that there is a journey which goes beyond the fact of our hopes and dreams. At the end of seminary, I had not achieved my dream job. My journey ended with that fact. And if my food supply depended on my dream job, then I really was done. I'm going on 4 years without that job. But God's journey did not depend on me getting my dream job. If God did not need the income I'd earn from my dream job to put food on my table, then God did not need me to get my dream job to continue his journey. God had other sources of food that I didn't even know about. And in the food, God was trying to show me that he was on a journey that went beyond my hopes and dreams. The problem is, we often miss what God's trying to show us. So what if we miss what God's trying to show us? God keeps feeding us. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched Elijah and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." Elijah didn't see what God was trying to show him the first time. Elijah ate and drank and went back to sleep as if nothing extraordinary had happened. This might seem strange. He just got fed with nothing. But the thing is, Elijah's pretty used to getting food from God. God had fed Elijah before. Did you know that God had been feeding Elijah for 3 years? First, God sent crows. Yes, that's right, birds that eat carcasses. He sent crows to send Elijah food. Then God sent Elijah to a foreign woman who had an empty flour jar, and they ate out of that jar for a couple years or so. And here, God fed Elijah where there was nothing at all. 3 years Elijah had been on the run, yet he still had food on the table. 3 years God gave Elijah food, yet Elijah still had not seen that God's journey went beyond the fact that Israel would never listen to him. But God is much more patient than we are. God fed Elijah again. And this time, Elijah caught a glimpse of God's journey and the hot meal at his head. Elijah discovered that even though his journey was over, God's journey was not. God's journey did not depend on whether Israel would listen to him or not. God's journey was bigger and greater than that. And God wanted Elijah to go on that journey with him. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. So God had gotten a man who wanted to die to go on a 40-day journey. And God has fed us before. How many times have we sat down to eat in our lives? Every time we sit down to eat, we're eating from the hand of God. All our food comes from God. Our food doesn't come from Winco, Fred Meyer, Costco, Albertsons, or Walmart. It comes from God. It doesn't come from a brilliant nation or a strong economy. It comes from God. There's nothing we can do to earn the food we eat. We're all dependents. We're all God's dependents. Journeys are exhausting. God knows this. That's why he gives us food. He gives us food so we can keep journeying on. But we often don't see the hand of God when we're eating. We see our hopes. We see our dreams. We see the fact of whether we've reached them or not, but we don't see the fact that God can give us the food we need regardless of whether we've reached our dreams or not. And God will feed us again. If we can't see it today, if we can't see that God's journey does not end with our hopes and dreams, then God will keep giving us the food we need until we do see it. You may have seen it once, but have since forgotten. God wants you to see it again. And he'll keep giving you the food you need until you do see it again. He'll keep feeding all of us until we see it. Until we see that God's journey goes beyond our hopes and dreams. Why is God so patient with us? God is so patient with us because he loves us. That's why God will keep giving us the food we need to make it through the day. Your next meal, a friend's smile, a warm hug, a refreshing conversation, a good night's sleep, a new hobby. God knows that you need all these things. And God gladly gives us these things because he loves us. And because God loves us, he wants us to be with him on his journey. Not a journey that depends on what we can achieve or accomplish, but a journey that depends only on God's ability to bring us with him. Not a journey that ends with our hopes and dreams, but a journey that always goes beyond the best that we could ever hope for ourselves, a journey that goes always to a brighter and more beautiful world than we could fathom. But going always beyond our hopes and dreams, going always to a brighter and more beautiful world, implies that God's journey never ends. It implies that God's journey lasts forever. The problem is, we don't live forever. Even if we wanted to follow God on his journey, all of us, we would die along the way somewhere. But our mortality won't stop God from bringing us with him on his journey. God can bring us on a journey which lasts forever. God became a man called Jesus. Do you know him? When God became Jesus, he lived a life full of journeys just like us. He went on a journey called childhood, a journey called apprenticeship, a journey called career, a journey called friendship, a journey called fame, a journey called disgrace. And along the way, Jesus experienced joy and sorrow, plenty and scarcity, trust and betrayal, honor and dishonor. He experienced the good we experience, along with the bad. And through it all, good and bad, Jesus never lost sight of God's journey, his journey. Jesus became a man to tell his people about a journey which went beyond their hopes and dreams. But his people never listened to him. They never respected him. They never accepted him. They never believed him. They never loved him. But Jesus' journey went beyond these facts. Jesus knew that his journey did not depend on his people's attention, their respect, their acceptance, their belief, their love. His journey did not depend on the fact that they rejected him. His journey depended on the fact that he loved them and he would give his life for them. By becoming a man, Jesus had put himself in a position where he would die just like the rest of us. But God's journey does not depend on our ability to stay alive. God's journey has only ever depended on one thing, on Jesus' ability to live again. Jesus died, but Jesus died and came back to life. And by coming back to life, Jesus has shown us once for all that he is God, the one true God, the God of our friend Elijah. And he is going on a journey to a place that's brighter and more beautiful than we could ever imagine, a place beyond our hopes and dreams. And he's the only one who can take us there. And he wants you to come with him. That's why Jesus says, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus set aside whatever else he could have achieved or accomplished, and Jesus gave up his life so that we could live again. And Jesus committed his life to us so we can be with him on God's journey. And God's journey will go right past our hopes, right past our dreams, right past anything we could achieve or accomplish, right past the world as we know it, and on to the world as it should be. Do you believe that Jesus wants you to be with him on his journey? Do you believe that Jesus is able to bring you with him on his journey? Believe. Believe in the man who gave up his life for you. Believe that you can live again because he can live again. Believe in his love. Believe in his desire to go on the journey with you. And go in the strength of his desire. Go in his love. Go to the place where God wants you to be. Go to the place that is always better than our brightest hopes, our sweetest dreams.